Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is powered by Poddex. Poddex are unique interview questions and episode starting prompts in the palm of your hand. So whether you're a new podcaster or existing broadcaster looking to grow your audience and have more meaningful conversations, you're going to want to check out Poddex. Now, if you want to get 10% off your order right now, you can go to poddex.com and type in coupon code. What's the code?
Larry21.
Yes, that's the code. Check out poddex.com. Take your podcast to the next level.
Welcome to the True Crime Never Sleeps podcast. We dive into stories of true crime, from unsolved cold cases to historic kidnapping to gangsters and beyond. We are your source for true crime. We thank you for listening.
Founded in 1983 by Bernard Ebers, former milkman turned entrepreneur, WorldCom embarked on an aggressive expansion campaign, leveraging the deregulation of the telecommunications industry through a series of audacious acquisitions, including the historic merger with MCI in 1998. WorldCom transformed from a small player into a behemoth, second only to AT&T in the United States. This meteoric rise was driven by the vision of Ebers, who fostered a culture of relentless growth and ambition. WorldCom's strategy was simple yet aggressive. Grow through acquisitions. Integrate the acquired companies to leverage economies of scale and thereby dominate the telecommunications sector. This approach, while successful in the short term, laid the foundation for the company's eventual downfall. The drive to meet or exceed financial targets at any cost led to a corporate environment where ethical lines were blurred and financial manipulations became the norm. The telecommunications industry in the 90s was a fertile ground for WorldCom's ambitions. The internet was burgeoning, and the demand for data transmission and bandwidth was skyrocketing. WorldCom positioned itself at the forefront of this revolution, offering a range of services from traditional voice communications to cutting-edge data services. The company's aggressive expansion and strategic acquisitions allowed it to amass an impressive network of fiber optic cables, positioning WorldCom as a key player in the emerging global communications landscape. However, beneath the surface of this success story was critical flaws of WorldCom's business model and ethical compass. The company's relentless pursuit of growth through acquisitions masked underlying financial weaknesses. Many of the acquisitions were financed through significant debt, placing immense pressure on the company to generate enough revenue to cover its obligations. As the market became saturated and competition intensified, WorldCom found it increasingly difficult to maintain its growth trajectory through organic means alone. This pressure cooker environment sets the stage for one of the largest accounting scandals in history, the need to constantly present a facade of financial health and growth to investors, and the market led to a series of questionable accounting decisions, which eventually spiraled into outright fraud. The initial steps towards the financial manipulation were subtle, exploiting gray areas in accounting rules and regulations. However, as the gap between reality and the company's financial statements widened, the measures taken to conceal the truth became increasingly bold and fraudulent. The unraveling of WorldCom not only marked the end of an era for the telecommunications industry, but also served as a critical juncture for corporate America. It highlighted the vulnerabilities in the regulatory and oversight mechanisms in place at the time, and raised profound questions about corporate governance, ethics, and the responsibilities of executives and auditors. The scandal served as a wake-up call, prompting a reevaluation of the values that had driven the frenetic growth of the 90s and leading to significant changes in how companies are governed and regulated. The unraveling of WorldCom, once a titan of the telecommunications industry, began as a slow burn that erupted into a full-blown inferno, exposing deep-seated corruption and fraud that would forever change the landscape of corporate America. Initially, WorldCom's downfall appeared to be a tale of financial missteps and market misfortunes, but as the layers were peeled back, a much more sinister narrative emerged, one that involved deliberate and systemic... systematic accounting fraud of unprecedented scale. In June 2002, WorldCom shocked the world by disclosing a $3.8 billion accounting error. This revelation was only the tip of the iceberg. Later investigations uncovered that the total amount of fraud was close to $11 billion. The scandal was characterized by the misclassification of operating expenses as capital expenditures, a maneuver designed to artificially inflate the company's assets and profitability. This manipulation was not a simple oversight or the result of aggressive accounting practices, but a deliberate attempt to deceive investors, regulators, and the public about the true financial health of the company. The mechanics of the fraud were shockingly straightforward, yet their impact was devastating. WorldCom's leadership, under the guidance of CFO Scott Sullivan and with the knowledge of CEO Bernard Ebbers, embarked on a scheme to capitalize line costs, essentially expenses paid to other telecom companies for the use of their networks. By not reporting these costs as immediate expenses, WorldCom could falsely report higher profits and a healthier balance sheet than what was actually the case. This deceit was central to maintaining the company's stock price, securing loans, and continuing its aggressive acquisition strategy. As WorldCom's financial performance began to falter in the face of increasing market competition and saturation, the pressure to maintain the illusion of success intensified. The company's stock, which had soared during the 90s, became a critical component of its financial strategy. Executive bonuses, company prestige, and the ability to raise capital were all tied to the performance of WorldCom shares. As a result, the incentive to perpetuate the fraud grew stronger, embedding the practice into the company's financial operations. The unraveling began in earnest when internal auditors, led by Cynthia Cooper, stumbled upon irregularities in the company's accounting records. Cooper and her team, operating often in secret due to fears of retribution, embarked on a meticulous investigation that would uncover the depth and breadth of the deceit. Their findings would not only confirm the suspicions of accounting irregularities, but also reveal a culture of intimidation and silence that allowed the fraud to continue unchallenged for years. The revelation of the fraud sent shockwaves through the financial world. Investors, already jittery from the recent dot-com bubble burst and the Enron scandal, were horrified to discover that WorldCom, a company many considered a blue-chip stock, was embroiled in a scandal of this magnitude. The immediate aftermath saw WorldCom's stock price collapse, billions in market value erased, and thousands of employees facing joblessness. The scandal also raised serious questions about the effectiveness of financial regulation, the complicity of auditors, in this case Arthur Andersen, who was also implicated in the earlier Enron scandal, and the ethical obligations of corporate leadership. The mechanism of fraud at WorldCom, which ultimately led to its dramatic collapse, was both simple in its conception and astonishing in its scale. Like we mentioned, the fraud centered on the manipulation of the company's financial statements through the misclassification of operating expenses and the improper management of reserves. This manipulation was not a result of accidental mismanagement, but a deliberate and systemic effort to deceive stakeholders about the true financial health of the company. At the heart of the WorldCom fraud was, like we mentioned, the misclassification of line costs. Line costs, significant expenses for telecommunication companies, are fees paid to other companies for the use of their telecommunication networks. According to standard accounting principles, these costs should be treated as current operating expenses, impacting the company's net income immediately. However, what WorldCom did in a bid to artificially inflate the company's profitability was to capitalize these expenses. Capitalizing these costs involved recording them as capital expenditures rather than immediate operating expenses. This accounting maneuver meant that these expenses were treated as if they were investments in the company's infrastructure, spreading their impact over several years through depreciation and this manipulation had a twofold effect. It artificially inflated WorldCom's assets and simultaneously reduced its reported operating expenses, leading to an overstatement of profits. Another aspect of the...
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Fraud was the manipulation of reserves and revenue. WorldCom engaged in what is known as cookie jar accounting, a practice where companies pull out or stash away reserves to smooth earnings over different periods. WorldCom inflated its revenue by releasing reserves into income in periods where it needed to meet Wall Street expectations. This manipulation gave the illusion of consistent revenue growth, deceiving investors and analysts about the company's financial performance. The widespread and systematic nature of the fraud at WorldCom points to a deeper issue within the company, a corporate culture that not only condoned but encouraged financial manipulation. Under the leadership of CEO Bernard Ebbers and CFO Scott Sullivan, WorldCom's environment became one where the ends justified the means. The intense pressure to meet or exceed financial targets led to an atmosphere where employees feared raising concerns about unethical practices. This culture of fear and silence was critical in allowing the fraud to continue unchecked for as long as it did. The WorldCom scandal also highlighted significant failures in oversight mechanisms designed to prevent such fraud. Both internal and external checks and balances, including the company's board of directors, audit committee, and external auditors, failed to detect or stop the fraudulent activities. The external auditors, in particular, came under heavy criticism for their role in the scandal. Their failure to identify and report the fraudulent practices raised some serious questions about the effectiveness of external audits and the potential conflict of interest between auditing firms and their clients. The discovery and subsequent fallout of the WorldCom fraud unfolded like a tragic drama, exposing deep-rooted corruption within one of the telecommunication industry's most revered giants. The catalyst for this unraveling was not an external auditor, regulatory bodies, or investigative journalists, but rather an internal figure. Cynthia Cooper, WorldCom's Vice President of Internal Audit. Cooper, along with her small team of auditors, embarked on a journey that ultimately revealed the staggering $11 billion fraud, leading to one of the most significant corporate collapses in history. Cynthia Cooper and her team began to suspect something was amiss when routine audits revealed discrepancies in the company's financial statements. Their suspicions were aroused by the unusual capitalization of line costs, a significant deviation from standard accounting practices. Despite facing significant resistance and pushback from WorldCom's senior management, Cooper's team pressed on, often working after hours and in secret to avoid detection and interference. Their investigation revealed the extensive misclassification of expenses and the manipulation of financial statements to inflate the company's profitability artificially. This discovery was not just about numbers. It was a revelation of a systemic failure of corporate governance and ethical leadership within WorldCom. The public disclosure of the fraud in June 2002 sent shockwaves through the financial markets, the telecommunications industry, and the broader corporate world. WorldCom's stock, once a darling of Wall Street, plummeted, erasing billions of dollars in market value overnight. Investors and employees alike were left reeling, with many losing their life savings as the stock became virtually worthless. The fallout extended beyond financial losses. Confidence in corporate America was deeply shaken, coming on the heels of the Enron scandal. The WorldCom scandal underscored the vulnerability of the financial reporting system to manipulation and the need for stronger oversight and corporate governance. The legal repercussions for those involved in the WorldCom scandal were swift and severe. Bernard Ebbers, the CEO, was convicted of fraud and conspiracy and sentenced to 25 years in prison, a sentence that was seen as a clear message to corporate executives about the seriousness of corporate fraud. Scott Sullivan, the CFO and a key architect of the fraud, also faced legal consequences and received a 5-year prison sentence after pleading guilty and cooperating with prosecutors. The WorldCom scandal also prompted regulatory changes, most notably the Oxley Act of 2002, which was passed to enhance corporate governance, improve the accuracy and reliability of corporate disclosures, and combat corporate and accounting fraud. This legislation represented one of the most significant changes to federal security laws since the 1930s, imposing stricter rules on corporate financial reporting and the responsibilities of corporate executives and auditors. The collapse of WorldCom had a profound impact on the telecommunications industry, leading to job losses, decreased investor confidence, and increased regulatory scrutiny. The scandal also accelerated changes in the industry, prompting calls for more competition and transparency in telecommunication services. The legal repercussions of the WorldCom scandal were extensive and served as a pivotal moment in corporate governance and legal proceedings against corporate fraud in the United States. The collapse of WorldCom, once a titan of the industry, due to $11 billion accounting fraud, not only led to significant financial losses for investors, but also prompted a reevaluation of corporate ethics, governance, and the legal mechanisms in place to prevent such fraud. Like we mentioned, Ebbers, the CEO, was sent to jail for 25 years. Scott Sullivan, you know, the CFO, like we mentioned, pleaded guilty, got 5 years in prison. Beyond Ebbers and Sullivan, several other WorldCom executives faced legal scrutiny. David Myers, the company's former controller, and Buford Yates, the director of general accounting, were among those charged and later pleaded guilty to fraud-related charges. Their cooperation with authorities, similar to Sullivan's, was part of a broader strategy to hold individual executives accountable for their roles in the fraud. The scandal also cast a shadow over Arthur Andersen, WorldCom's auditing firm, which was already reeling from its involvement in the Enron scandal. While Arthur Andersen was not criminally charged in relation to the WorldCom scandal, the firm's reputation suffered significant damage, contributing to its eventual collapse. In addition to criminal prosecutions, the WorldCom scandal led to significant financial settlements designed to compensate defrauded investors. WorldCom agreed to a $750 million settlement with the SEC, one of the largest ever at the time, and this settlement was intended to help recoup some of the losses suffered by investors due to the company's fraudulent activities. Moreover, the legal proceedings against WorldCom executives set new precedents for corporate fraud cases, emphasizing the responsibility of top executives for their company's actions and the importance of ethical corporate governance. The severity of the sentences handed down to these executives, including Ebbers, served as a deterrent to corporate fraud, highlighting the potential personal consequences for corporate malfeasance. The WorldCom scandal, one of the largest corporate frauds in history, not only led to significant legal repercussions for those involved, but also had a profound regulatory and industry-wide impact. The fallout from the scandal, alongside other corporate frauds in the early 2000s, prompted a sweeping overhaul of regulatory standards and practices in the U.S., fundamentally altering the corporate governance landscape. Additionally, the telecommunications industry, in particular, faced a period of intense scrutiny and transformation as a direct consequence of WorldCom's malfeasance. Let us know your thoughts on this case in the comment section below. Were you aware of this story? If not, let us know. And of course, give us a thumbs up if you like our video. Hit that subscribe button. Hit the bell notification button to be notified of future videos. And as always, you can find our episodes on audio format on your favorite podcast platform, including Good Pods, or wherever you get your podcasts from. And of course, if you want to support the channel, you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TCNS. As always, your support goes right directly into the show, helps us upgrade our equipment, bring in new hosts, pay them, take the show on the road, and of course, pay the fees to, pay the hosting fees for our show. But of course, as always, thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll see.
You have been listening to the True Crime Never Sleeps podcast. Thank you for listening. You can follow us on Facebook at True Crime Never Sleeps podcast and on Twitter at True Crime NS. And follow us on Instagram at True Crime Never Sleeps. Thanks for watching. If you want to support the show, buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TCNS or become a patron at patreon.com/truecrimeneversleeps.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores led by Walmart and Target are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.